Today's shiur is Masechta Pesachim, Daf Kuf Ches, and we're going to begin on Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, Rava Havishasi Chamra Kulei Mala Yom De Pesach. Rava used to drink wine all of Erev Pesach, Kehecha De Nigra Lalibe, in order that he should build up an appetite, De Nechel Matzah Tfeil Urta, so he could eat more matzah at night, because as we're going to learn, wine, drinking wine, helps you get a better appetite. There's an interesting Avni Nezer based on this Gemara. He says the Gemara says that Rava drank wine, that he should eat more matzah. So the Avni Nezer says based on this Gemara, we see that for every kazayis matzah you eat, you get a mitzvah. So that's why he wanted to eat a lot of kazaisim to get a lot of mitzvahs. The Dvar Shmuel says that that's not necessarily pshat in the Gemara. He said it could be pshat in the Gemara is that he drank, so that kazayis, or two kazaisim of matzah you're supposed to eat, he should eat them with more appetite. But not necessarily that it means that you're supposed to eat a lot of kazaisim when you get more mitzvahs from more kazaisim. Amar Rava, Menoh Aminala, from where we know that drinking wine builds up the appetite, the Menoh Aminala, the Chamra Migregora, how do we know that wine builds up an appetite? That's not. We're going to learn a Mishnah. Ben HaKoisus HaLalu, between the first and second cup of wine, and Rotsa Lishtos Yishta, if you want to drink, you may drink wine. So the Rajbam explains the Gemara, why are we allowed to drink wine between the first and second cup? Because we want you to build up an appetite in anticipation of the matzah. So even though normally we don't necessarily want you to drink between cups, here we allow you to drink to build up an appetite. Ben shlish l'rvi, therefore between the third and fourth cup, where there's no more need to build up an appetite, it's already after the achilas matzah, lo yishta, you shouldn't be allowed to drink wine. Now says the Gemara, vi amrit misses sod, if we're going to say the wine satiates a mayishta, why should you be allowed to drink even between the first and second cup? By drinking, if drinking fills you up, you will end up eating the matzah when you're full, which we discussed yesterday is not the right way. From here we see migragor. Wine causes you to have an appetite, and that's why we allow you to drink on Erev Pesach, and we allow you to drink between the first cup and the second cup. The Gemara Masechta Brachos and Tosfos here says that only a lot of wine causes an appetite. A small amount of wine, on the contrary, fills you up. And the Mefarshim explain, drinking two cups of wine and maybe something in between is considered a lot. That's why, lahalocha, we're makbid not to drink wine in Erev Pesach. We only drink what we have to. Why? Because since we're not quite sure what is considered a lot of wine and what is considered not a lot of wine, and as Tosfos and the Gemara and Brachos taught us, only a lot of wine brings up the appetite, so that's why we stay away, because we don't know what's what. The Yerushalmi has a whole different approach why you're not allowed to drink between the third and fourth cup. He says because we don't want you to get drunk. You already drank three cups of wine. If you're going to drink more wine between the third and fourth cup, you'll end up being drunk and not being able to say the Hallel properly. Says the Gemara, Rav Sheshes have a Yosef b'Tanesa ko male yoyim d'pischa. He said he sat and didn't eat. Tosfos says it's not necessarily that he actually sat in a fast day. He just didn't eat too much all of Erev Pesach. Says the Gemara, why? Name of Rav Sheshes. What was Rav Sheshes' reasoning? Going back to the Gemara we learned yesterday. Yesterday, the Gemara quoted what we learned at the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek. The Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek said, Avri Psochem Samuch Lemincha Layoichel. The Gemara asked, what does Samuch Lemincha mean? Does it mean 12 o'clock, which means a half an hour before the Mincha Gedoyla? And the reason you're not allowed to eat is because that's the time to bring the Korban Pesach, and therefore we don't want you to eat because you should be busy with the Korban Pesach and not get distracted? Or does it mean 3 o'clock, a half an hour before Mincha Ketana, and the reason you're not supposed to eat is that you should eat the matzah with more appetite at night? So the Gemara wants to say that Rav Sheshes will learn Pshat in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to eat on Erev Pesach Samach L'mincha, it means Samach L'mincha G'dayl Tanan, a half an hour before the Mincha G'dayl, which would mean 12 o'clock. U Mishum Pischahu, the reason we don't want you to eat is because we want you to bring the Korban Pesach. We're concerned Dilma Mimshech V'Asi L'mnui M'levevet Pischahu. You're going to get, if you're going to eat, you may not bring the Korban Pesach. Furthermore, the Savala, he also holds Kihad Amar Reb Oisha Amar Reb Lezer Mach Shahai Ben Beseira the Pesach Sheshach the Beshachris Baba Asa L'shma. We learned the first Mishnah Masechta Zvachim says that all Kabbonis that were brought Shaloi L'shma are Ksheirim Akasha as Shaloi Olu L'balim L'shem Chayva. The person who had to bring a carbon hasn't fulfilled what he had to do. But the Mishnah says there are two exceptions. One is a carbon chattis, and the other is a carbon pesach. However, the Gemara explains, and we've learned this Gemara already, when is a carbon pesach that's brought shaloi l'shma disqualified? If you brought it in the time that you could bring a carbon pesach. So if, till now we've been learning that what's the time to bring a Karan Pesach? Erev Pesach in the afternoon. So if you bring a Karan Pesach, Erev Pesach in the afternoon, Shaloi Lishma, it's disqualified. Any other time that we learned a Karan Pesach, any other time has the status of a Karan Shlomim. So the halach would be, it would be kosher. Says this man to Omer Masechta Zvachim, that if you bring a Karan Pesach, Erev Pesach in the morning, Shaloi Lishma, it's disqualified. Why? Because obviously he holds that the Zman, the proper time in which a Korban Pesach could be brought, is even Erev Pesach in the morning. So now we could understand Rav Sheshes. If we're saying that whenever you could bring a Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to eat, and we're also saying that you could bring a Korban Pesach already Erev Pesach in the morning, you would not be allowed to eat Erev Pesach in the morning. Hence, Rav Sheshes didn't eat all Erev Pesach. Savala, he holds Ki Adam Rabbi Shem Rabbi Lezer. Machshay ben Beseir Pesach Sheshach to Shachris Baba Asher Shloi Lishma. If you bring the Korban Pesach and Erev Pesach in the morning Lishma, it's going to be considered that you properly brought the Korban Pesach. Umitzafer Zman Pischehu, because the Zman to bring the Korban Pesach begins already in the morning. The Kol Yoy Mechazal Pischeh. He holds that the entire Erev Pesach you could bring a Korban Pesach. The Savala, because he explains that when the Pasuk says Bein Harbayim, that Korban Pesach should be brought in the afternoon, it means Bein Erev the Esmoil L'Erev the Ha'idna, from yesterday afternoon to today in the afternoon. So therefore, since you could bring the Korban Pesach any time Erev Pesach, and we learned in the Mishnah that any time you could bring the Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to eat, Rav Sheshes says you can't eat all of Erev Pesach. Says Tosfos, even if you hold that you're allowed to bring a Korban Pesach in the morning, nobody's going to say lechatchila you should bring it in the morning. The Gemara says that if you brought it in the morning, it's acceptable, but nobody's going to tell you that it's lechatchila. So now let's try to understand. Let's try to understand how that should affect Rav Sheshes. So the Rishonim explain that Rav Sheshes is going to learn that any time a Korban can be brought, even if you didn't actually bring it in that time, or you shouldn't lechatchila bring it in that time, then you shouldn't eat. The Ramban has a different approach. The Ramban explains that Rav Sheshes is going to hold that since you could bring the Korban Pesach in the morning, you're also already not allowed to eat chametz. Because as we learned early in the Masechta, whenever you could bring the Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to eat chametz. So if you're not allowed to eat chametz, you shouldn't eat anything else either. Now, Tosfos brings up the point, it's really Yerushalmi, that says perhaps Rav Sheshes didn't eat Erev Pesach because he was a Bechor. And a Bechor is supposed to fast Erev Pesach. So Yerushalmi proves that he wasn't a Bechor. So this is the first place we encounter the concept of Tanis Bechorim, that Bechorim don't eat on Erev Pesach. As we know, the halach is it's not just a Bechor who's a Bechor for Pidyon HaBen, that has to be a Bechor who's Peter Rechem. The halach is that anybody who's a Bechor, if he's the firstborn to his father or mother, is considered a Bechor. The minig is, we'll talk about it in Mitzvah Shem another time, that we make a Siyam. I saw an interesting question. Why do Bechorim have to fast on Erev Pesach? If anything, we should say Bechayrim should make a party at Pesach. They were saved. So Mefarshim answer, we find in the Megillah that when Haman and Achashverosh decreed that all Jews should be killed, what did they do? Nikolu v'omdu al nafshim, they got together and they fasted and davened. So they say probably Mitzrayim was the same thing. When Paroi, when Moshe Rabbeinu announced to Paroi that all Bechayrim will die, what did the Jewish Bechayrim do? They sat down and davened and fasted. So to commemorate that, Bechayrim fast on Erev Pesach. The Mefarshim ask, how could Rav Sheshis fasted on Erev Pesach? If Erev Pesach is the day that the Korban Pesach is brought, the Rambam says that on the day that somebody brought a Korban, it's a Yontif. You're not allowed to fast on that day. So how could he fast on that day? So according to Tosfos' approach, it wasn't really a fast that he didn't eat anything. He just didn't eat full meals. It's not a problem. But all the Mefarshim explain what the Rambam means when he says you're not allowed to fast on a day you bring a carbon, that it has to be a day of simcha to you, a day that's a yom tif. That's not mean that you're not allowed to eat. You're just not allowed to be bitsar. So if you enjoy not eating, or you're not eating for a valid reason, you have a right not to eat. Tosfos also makes a point. Rav Sheshis lived after the Churban. After the Churban, there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Korban Pesach. So he's not eating all day because of the Korban Pesach. There's no Korban Pesach. So Tosfos says, although this year there was no Korban, the year Rav Sheshis fasted, there was no Korban Pesach, but next year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help, we'll have a Beis HaMikdash. And that's why he stopped eating, because he knows that then you won't be allowed to eat. And in fact, the Mefarshim take that concept a step further. Because Rav Sheshis, as we know from many places in Shas, was blind. Somebody who's blind doesn't bring a Korban Pesach anyway. So if he was blind, he's not eating because he has to bring the Korban Pesach, he's not bringing a Korban Pesach anyway. But based on what Tosfos says that he wasn't fasting because of this year. He's fasting next year when the Beis HaMikdash will be built after Mashiach. The Medrash says that when Mashiach comes, all sick people will be healed. So he won't be blind anymore. So he'll have to bring a Korban Pesach. The Gemara says, Amri Loi. There's a different reason that Rav Sheshis didn't eat an Erev Pesach. Shani Rav Sheshis Disnes Hava. He was a very finicky person who was a person the Itam B'tzafri Midah. If he would eat anything in the morning, Lo'urtu Lahavim Mani Limichli, could not eat. So he didn't eat because if he ate, he wouldn't be able to eat at night. The Rishonim explain, what's the practical nafkamina between the approach of Korban Pesach or the approach of Istinus? If the reason is because of Korban Pesach, that means you're not allowed to sit down to a meal. Because we're worried that if you sit down to a meal, he's going to get caught up and forget to bring the Korban Pesach. But to take something to your mouth, that's fine. That's not going to prevent you from bringing the Korban Pesach. But if the reason is because he's an Istinus, and any food affects that he wouldn't be able to eat at night, then he shouldn't be allowed to eat anything on Erev Pesach. So we learned in the Mishnah, Afil Onisha B'Yisrael LaYochel Ad SheYosef. Even the poorest person in Klal Yisrael is not allowed to eat unless he makes a seiba by the Seder. Itma, so we learned. Matzah tzarcha seiba. Matzah requires a seiba. Morer ain't tzarcha seiba. Doesn't require a seiba. Yayin, what about the dalakosis? Itma shmei de Rav Nachman tzarcha seiba. We learned from Rav Nachman that requires a seiba. Vitma Mishmei Rav Nachman, and yet we also learned in the name of Rav Nachman the ain't tzarcha seiba, doesn't require seiba. Says the Gemara, v'loy pligi, there's really no machloikish. Ka'batati kosi kamoi, ha'batati kosi besroi. The first two cups have one din, and the second two cups have another din. However, says the Gemara, amri lo lahai gisa, v'amri lo lahai gisa. Some say it this way, and some say it that way. Amri lo lahai gisa, some say this way. Trei kasi kamoi, the first two cups bar seiba, require seiba. The hashtu the kamaskh lecheris. Now we're starting the seder. Now we're starting saying the agada, and we're supposed to show a seiba because the seiba shows cheris, shows that we're free, that we came out of Mitzrayim. Trei kasi basroi. However, the last two cups loy bar a seiba. You don't have to do a seiba anymore because ma'ida have a haver. You already did a seiba. You already showed that we went out of Mitzrayim. And like the Brikas Avram says, we're in Golis. We're not completely free. So by the first two cups, we show a seiva to commemorate our freedom, but then we go back to sit regular. Ask Tosfos, if that's the case, that we're sitting with a seiva, but the first two cups, according to this pshat, shows that we already commemorated our freedom, and we don't have to do any more, so why by matzah do we have to sit with a seiva? We already commemorated it with the seiva that we sat by the first two cups. Why have to sit with a seiva by matzah? So Taisa says, because one teretz is that he gives is the matzah is the main part of the seder. It's actually the only thing that we still have, which is a chiv deraisa. That's why we should sit at least by matzah with a seiva. Another pshat that Taisa gives is that the Torah tells us, why should we eat matzah? Shlebetispik betzeikom lahachmes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, and there wasn't enough time for the dough to rise. So the whole eating of matzah is to commemorate freedom. Nothing commemorates freedom better than the eating of matzah. So it should be done with a seiva. Another pshat that I saw is, yes, we showed a seiva by wine, but we didn't show any a seiva by matzah. The seiva for the wine can't help a seiva for matzah, and has to have its own independent seiva. So even though we already sat with the first two cups with a seiva, it would not affect the wine. Another pshat, v'amr lo lahai gisa. There was another view. Adrabba, just the opposite. Trei kasa kamasroi, the second two cups, ba'a seiva, that's when you have to sit with a seiva, because he shatted the kahava cheres. That already is in the part of the Haggadah. We already are out of Mitzrayim, so we have to sit with a seiva. On the other hand, trei kasa kamoi, the first two cups, loy ba'a seiva, we don't sit with a seiva. Da'akati avodim hayinu kamar. We're still saying that we're slaves. And that's why we don't sit with a seiva for the first two cups. Says the Gemara, hash to the itma hachi v'itma hachi. So now we have a contradiction. Do we sit by the first two cups? Do we sit by the second two cups? That's why, idi v'idi by a seiva, we sit by all four cups with a seiva. Ask the Ram. We have a klal in all of Shas that suffix rabbanon l'kula. So whenever we have a suffix rabbanon, we go l'kula. So drinking with a seiva is the rabbanon. So it should be mekel, and not have to sit at all. And here we're saying that we have to sit by all four. So the Ran's first teretz is, yes, Sofet Rabbanan Lakula, but here it's not such a big deal to sit Be'seva. It's not so difficult to sit with a seiva, so to sit with a seiva. That's one teretz. Another teretz is, if we're going to follow the rule of Sofet Rabbanan Lakula, what's going to come out? That a person doesn't sit with a seiva at all. But we know that the Mishnah says that you have to sit with a seiva. To use Sofet Rabbanan Lakula to leave us in a situation where the entire Takanad Rabbanan is, so to speak, deleted, that Sofet Rabbanan L'kula can't do. But for Yayin, the Mishnah says you have to drink, you have to have Yayin a Seiva, the Gemara we learned. Another Teretz is, what does Sofet Rabbanan L'kula mean? That if we have a Machloikas, let's say we'll have a Machloikas Tanoim, one Tan is Machmer, and one Tan is Mekel, so Sofet Rabbanan L'kula says that if we're dealing with a subject which is a Rabbanan, go L'kula. But here we're not dealing with a machloikis. The whole issue is up in the air. That's why we don't say Sofet Rabbanan L'kula. Ask the Ran. He has a different Eitzah. He says, why don't we have that everybody should sit with a seiva in the first two cups and not have to sit anymore? Where does he bring a proof? He says, the Gemara Masechta Megillah says like this. We know that the walled cities from Yishuv Benun hold Purim Tezva of Adar, Shusha Purim. Everybody else holds Purim, Yud Aleph Adar. So what's going to be the halacha if somebody's not sure if the city that he's in, is it a city that should hold Yud Aleph or Tezvav? Says the Gemara, hold Yud Aleph. Why? You hold Yud Aleph, and that's fine. So here too, sit by the first two cups, and that should be enough. So Mefarshim say you can't compare the two situations. First of all, they say, that when Chazal said that a walled city sits on Tezvav, it didn't mean to eradicate, to say that Yud Aleph is not Purim. It means you also could do Purim in Tezvav. That's one teretz. Another teretz, similar to what we said before, if this city that doesn't know if they should hold Purim, Yud Aleph, or Tezvav, ends up holding Purim on Yud Aleph, so they'll hold it on your dalet, but the concept, the institution of Shushan Purim hasn't been deleted. The city, Yerushalayim, Shushan, they'll hold Purim on Tezvav. Here, if everybody sits but drinks the first two cups per seva, and nobody will drink the second two cups with a seva, and perhaps the Gzeiros Chazal was dafka on the second two cups, so we will end up taking what Chazal wanted us to do and not doing it. So that's why they said you have to sit by all four cups. So the Brisker Rav, famous Brisker Rav, says there's two ways of looking at a seva. Either a seva is part of the mitzvah's matzah, that Chazal said matzah, Pesach by night, should be eaten by a seva. Wine should be eaten by a seva. Or a seva is a separate mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of a seva, but Chazal told us that when do you do it? When you eat the matzah, when you drink the wine. What's the nafkamina? It's machlokas rishonim. The nafkamina is if you ate without a seva, do you eat over? If you say that a seva is part of the mitzvah, matzah should be eaten with a seva, then you have to eat over because you didn't eat the matzah properly. That's the way the Rosh learns. That's the way the Ramah learns. If, on the other hand, you say that a seva is a separate mitzvah, once you ate without a seva, there's no point in eating over because the matzah you're ready with Makayim and you lost the opportunity to do a seva. When are you supposed to do a seva? So everybody agrees that by Maitzi Matzah we eat two kezaisim. The kezais that we eat L'shem Mitzvah Matzah has to be eaten with a seva. The Dalet Kaisis, the Gemara told us, has to be eaten with a seva, drunk with a seva. The second kezias of matzah, the one that we eat for mitzi, the minig is to eat with a seva. Kairach, also most poskim hold you should eat with a seva, but it's not as crucial as mitzi matzah. Afikoyman Tosfos says you should eat with a seva, the Rambam doesn't. Karpas, again, is a question. And interesting to note that the Beis Yosef and the Magen Avraham quotes the Beis Yosef says that although the Gemara says Morer ain't tzarich a seva, it doesn't mean that you're not allowed to sit with a seva in Morer. It means you don't have to sit with a seva. But if somebody ate Morer with a seva, it's okay. There are people that are machmer that the Suda, Shulchan Aruch, should be eaten with a seva. And then there's an interesting question, what about saying the Haggadah? Should you say the Haggadah by a seva or not? The Meiri says you should say the Haggadah with a seva. Everything that you could do with a seva that night, do. The Mishnah Berurah says that the Haggadah should not say with a seva, because the Haggadah should be said the Eimo B'Yira, with respect, and sitting a seva is not the Eimo B'Yira. Continues the Gemara. Praktan. So there's a machloikus what praktan means. The Rashbam says praktan means somebody laying on his back. Others say praktan means somebody laying on his stomach. Lo yishmeh haseva, but that's not considered haseva. Haseva shemin, leaning on your right side, lo yishmeh haseva, is not considered haseva. V'loyoyt, furthermore, there's another problem. Shem yagdim kana levashet, we're concerned, the Rashbam goes into the whole anatomy here, but we're concerned that the windpipe may open and the food pipe might close, and if you lean on the wrong way, your food will chas v'shalom go down the windpipe versus the food pipe. There's a machloikis when the Gemara says here shem yagdim kana levashet, regarding which situation is the Gemara referring to. Is it referring to the situation of praktin, that a praktin is not considered a seba, and not only is it not considered a seba, it's a sakana, or is it going on the case of being masiv on the right side, that if you be masiv on the right side, it's sakana? What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is a very relevant nafkamina. If somebody's a lefty, so it's difficult for a lefty to be masiv on the left side. So if you're saying that the Gemara is saying that when you're masiv on the right side, it's sakana, so even a lefty has to be masiv on the left side, as difficult as it is. If the Gemara is saying that's only referring to a praktan, so then a lefty would be allowed to be masiv on the right side. L'halacha, the Mishnah Berurah says that both, that a praktan is not considered a seva, and you should always be masiv on the left side, even if you're a lefty. Continues the Gemara. Isha etzel bala, a woman by her husband, by a seva, doesn't require a seva. Vim ishach shuvihi, but if she's a prominent woman, tzricha seva, she requires a seva. So Rishonim give three reasons why a wife doesn't require a seva. One is because she is, so to speak, meshubed labala. She has to do her husband's will. Another reason is because she's busy with the kitchen. And a third reason is because in those days, women did not sit by a seva normally. And like the Mefarshim explained, poor people also didn't sit by a seva. But a poor person didn't sit by a seva because he didn't have the ability. If he would have the resources, he would sit with a seva. Women never sat with a seva. Based on these three reasonings, now we'll explain who's an ishach shuva. Either ishach shuva could be somebody who doesn't have a husband, she's divorced, or a widow, single, so she's not subservient to her husband, or she has other people to run the kitchen, or if her minig is always to sit with a seva, she would have to sit with a seva. Says Drama, Noshim Shalanu, our wives, our women, Kulam Kruim Chshuvim, are all considered Chashiv, all considered prominent. So they should sit with a Seva. Why don't they sit with a Seva? So the Drama quotes a Shita of the Ravya, very interesting Shita. The Ravya says that since nowadays, sitting with a Seva is really not the way people sit, that in fact it's sometimes a little difficult to eat and drink with a seva. You have to be careful that you don't get all the wine on your kettle. So we don't sit with a seva. So although we don't pass like the Ravya, the Gemara says you should sit with a seva, says the Ramah, for a woman, if there's anyway discussion, she's supposed to sit with a seva, she doesn't have to sit by a seva. Says the Gemara, Ben Eitzel Aviv, a son by a father, by a seva, requires a seva. Why? So the Mefarshim give a number of reasons. One reason is because generally a father is Michael. A father doesn't really care. Another pshat is that a son is not allowed to do something that's mezalzel, that degrades his father. Sitting with a seva is not degrading. That's why it's mutter. And bechlal, parents want their children to do mitzvahs properly, so a father wants his son to do his seva. Ask the Gemara, Iboiluhu, Talmud eats a rabbi. What's going to be the halacha by a Talmud by Rebbe? Mai, should he do a seva or not? Toshma, Dom Rabaya, Kevina Bey Mar, when we were in our Rebbe's house, Zeginon Abirchid Adodi, we used to lean in each other. Kesinel Bey Rebbe Yosef, when we got to Rebbe Yosef's house, Amalon Loit Srichsach. There's no reason to do a seva, because Mayr Rabach, Mayr Kishmai. A person has to sit by his Rebbe like he's sitting in front of God, and therefore he shouldn't sit with a seva. And like the Bach explains, the only time a Talmud is allowed to sit with a seva by his Rebbe is if his Rebbe gives him permission. The Paiskim also say it doesn't necessarily have to be your Rebbe. If you're sitting by the Gadol Hador, even if he's not your Rebbe, you're not supposed to sit with a seva without permission. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says in a Braisa, in Makal Adam Meisiv, a person is allowed to sit by a seva everywhere, Vafil Talmud, Eitzel Rabbi, even a Talmud by his Rebbe. So how are you saying here that a Talmud is only allowed to sit with a seva by his Rebbe if he gets permission? Here we say differently, answers the Gemara, Ki Tanya Hi B'Shul Yidanagri. It's not talking about a Talmud who's learning Torah by his Rebbe, it's talking about a Talmud who's learning by his Rebbe how to be a carpenter. So I asked Mefarshim, that's what the Brice is teaching me. What's the Brice teaching me? Of course, that's not a Rebbe. So he says, so Mefarshim say, that we would consider that although it's not the same relationship of a Talmud who's learning Torah by Rebbe, but it's at least the relationship of a wife to a husband. And just like we learned before, a wife to a husband doesn't sit with a seva. Perhaps any student shouldn't sit with a seva by his teacher. The Brice says that no. A student by a teacher, if it's not a Rebbe of Torah, has to sit with a seva. Iboilu, so they ask, Shamish Mai, what's the luck with a waiter? Toshma, Dom Reb Shuban Levi, Hashamish Och Kazayis Matzah Kishum Eitziv, Shamish that eats a Kazayis, has to eat a Kazayis Matzah when he's leaning, Yotzer. So we see, Mesiv in, strictly if he's sitting with a Seva, Loi Mesiv Loi. Shmamina, we see, Boya Seva Shmamina. That even the waiter, who's really not such a free person, he's serving, is still a Jew, and every Jew has to sit with a seva. Now Taisus asks the following question. Taisus says that every child is also a student of his father. And it was saying that a student by a Talmud doesn't sit with a seva, so why does a Talmud sit with a seiva? What if son eats a seiva? So Taisa says it matters if you learned, if your father's your Rebbe Muvak, if you learn all your Torah from him, or you're just learning some. So what's going to be the halacha if your father's your Rebbe Muvak? If most of the Torah you learned from your father. So do you sit with a seiva or not? So it's actually a machlaikas. The Rosh says that then you would not sit with a seiva. And other Rishonim say you would sit with a seiva. Why? Why is it worse if he's your father and he's your Rebbe, if he's your Rebbe alone? Because as we said before, a father's relationship to a son is that he's not so strict. And he wants his son to sit per seiva. And I saw a beautiful word from the Imri Emes. In Shemana Esrei we say, Slach lanu avinu. Hashiveinu avinu l'sarasecha. Why do we call God avinu? From all the names that we could call God. Because the attribute of a father is the father is very soft and very nice to a child. Kerachem av albonim. So that's pshat here. A father, he could be a Rebbe, but he has a different relationship. It's a father. And that's why he allows you to sit with a seva. Asks Rabbi Chanan Vasserman. This week's parasha, parasha's kedoshim, pasuk says, Ish aviv v'imoy turo v'shapsoy se tishmayru. So Rashi says, what's the connection between Shmirah Shabbos and Kibra Aveim? So Rashi says that if your father tells you to do an Aveira, you have to be Mechal Shabbos, you have to not let her listen. The same of a Rebbe. So ask Rebbe Chanan, just because you're sitting by your Rebbe, you shouldn't sit with a Seva? There's a Chiv to sit with a Seva. We're learning now. There's a Chiv to sit with a Seva. So sitting with you by your Rebbe should change that? So he answers that a seiva is not just sitting, leaning. It's an attitude. It represents cheiris. A Talmud by a Rebbe, yes, he wants to sit with a seiva, but it's impossible. And therefore, he's parted from a seiva. One more shaila. What's going to be the halacha that if somebody ate matzah without a seiva? So according to the Pesukim that say you have to eat matzah again, he would have to eat matzah again. Now, when it comes, so he's ready to eat the kazayas all over with a seiva. When it comes to eat the second kazayas that he's eating, they want to eat properly, his Rebbe comes. So he's anyway not going to eat it with a seiva, because we just learned in the Gemara that you don't sit with a seiva by your Rebbe. So is there any point in eating the second kazayas or not? So I saw a very interesting tshuva. The halacha is like this. If somebody misses Yalav Yavoy by Mincha, he has to repeat Shemoneh Esrei. Let's say he forgot. He only realizes at night, when it's not Rosh Chodesh anymore, he has to say two times Ma'ariv Shemoneh Esrei, two times Shemoneh Esrei Ma'ariv, and not say Yalav Yavin either. Now the question is, the whole reason you're saying over Shemoneh Esrei is because you missed Yalav Yavin. But what are you accomplishing? You're still not going to say Yalav Yavin. The answer is that if you said Shemoneh Esrei with Yalav Yavin, as far as the halacha is concerned, it's as if you didn't say Shemoneh Esrei. Similarly, if you were supposed to eat matzah with a seiva and you didn't when you were supposed to sit with a seiva, it's as if you didn't eat matzah. So even though now when you're going to sit and eat the second kazayas, you're not going to anyway have a seiva, that doesn't make a difference. You still have to eat over the kazayas again. Says the Gemara. Now we begin discussing the Arba Kaisos. Even women are mechuyev to drink the Arba Kaisos. There's an interesting shaila. Why don't we make a bracha on the Dal Kaisis? All the other mitzvahs that night we make a bracha. Why don't we make a bracha on the Dal Kaisis? So Rishonim say a number of answers. One answer is because we never make a bracha on a mitzvah that we don't do in one shot, so to speak. Here we drink a cup, then there's a break, another cup. So since we don't do it in one shot, we don't make a bracha. Every night is our own mitzvah. Another pshat is that really every kais has its own bracha. The first kais has kiddush, the second kais has asher go'alanu, the third kais has birchas hamazon, and the fourth kais has the bracha of halal. So we already are making a bracha, so we don't have to make a special bracha. So it teaches us the Gemara that women are mechuyev to drink the arba kaisos sha'af hein hayu ba'is ha'nes. They were in the nes. In fact, the Rashbam says not only were they in the Nes? They were the main players. Because as the Gemara says, B'schar Noshim Tzidkanis, in the schus of the Noshim Tzidkanis, Nigalu, they were redeemed. In fact, the Mefarshim ask, according to the Rashbam, that the women were the main players, then the language of the Gemara is sort of difficult. It says afhein, they were also. It's not also, they were the main players. So Mefarshim say afhein means that it was them and the Schus Ovos. Afhein, they and our Schus Ovos took us out. Now Tosfos doesn't agree with Rashbam. Tosfos says they weren't the main players. Tosfos says they were also affected. Now Tosfos makes a point. Tosfos says like this: we know that a mitzvah aseisha is man groma, women are potter, and they should be potter even from eating, drinking the dalakaisus. But by a mitzvah drabonin, says Tosfos, where we also have the concept of afhein hayubaisa nes, women are mechuyif. That means like this: if it's a mitzvah doiraisa, even if we'll have a situation of afhein hayubaisa nes, women will be potter. What's the proof? Sukkah. Sukkah, women sat in the sukkahs, or whatever pshatet sukkah is, but since it's a mitzvah doraisa, afhein hayubaisa nes cannot make them be mechuyif. And a mitzvah drabonin, we will also have a concept of afhein hayub oisa anes, there women will be mechuyev, and that's why women are mechuyev to drink the daled kaisus. It's interesting. Rashi here says that what are the daled kaisus? Three, because the word kais is mentioned in the pasuk three times, and the fourth is for Birchas Hamazon. So the Mefarshim asked, we already explained at the beginning of the parak that the reason we have dal kaisis is for the dal l'shoinus shagul of atzeis v'yitzalt v'galt v'lakachti. So why does Rashi say something new? So they say Pshan and Rashi is like this: of course we have to do something four times k'nega the dal l'shoinus shagul, but why does it have to be drinking wine? Maybe it's something else. So that's why Rashi says we have to do something four times because the four l'shoinus shagul. Now why do we pick that it should be Dalet Kaisis? Because three cups in the Pasuk and Birchas Hamazon. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Arba Kaisis Halalu, these Dalet Kaisis, Tzorach Shehei Behen Kedei Mezigas Kais Yafa. In those days, the wine was very strong and had to be diluted. Says Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel that you have to have, how much do you have to have? You have to have a revis. So the ratio was 3-1. So kedei mezigas kais yafa means a quarter of a revius. Shosin chai, and you drank wine undiluted, yotza, you were makayim the mitzvah. Shosin mebas achas, yotza, if you drank it in one shot, you were yotza. So there's a big machloikus Rashi and Rashbam what bas achas means. Rashi learns that bas achas means that you take one cup of wine, you fill it up with four revius, and you drink it all four revius up, that's basachas. The Rashbam disagrees. The Rashbam says if somebody were to do that, that would not be considered basachas. That would be considered one cup. You still have to do three more. So Mefarshim explain what is the basis of the machlekes of Rashi and Rashbam. Very relevant la'aloch l'maisim. The Rashbam holds that you always have to drink roiv kais. L'chatchil, you're supposed to drink the whole cup, and if not, at least most of the cup. So if you have a big cup, it has four revis, and you drink up all of it, that's only one cup, because you always have to drink up for every kais, all or most of the cup. So you only drank one, and you have to drink three more. According to Rashi, however, you never have to drink more than a revis. So if you have a very big cup, as soon as you drink a revis, or a roiv revis, malalugmav, we discussed yesterday, you mekayim the mitzvah. So that's why, if you have a cup with four revis, according to Rashi, it's considered like you drank four separate times. Hishka mehen lebonel of nebesoi, if you gave your family to drink, yotza, you were yotza. So now the Gemara begins to describe, to deal with every din that we just learned. Shosin chai yotza, we said if you drank the wine undiluted, you were mekayim the mitzvah. Amar Rava, yidei yayin yotza, you were mekayim the chiyuv of dalad kaisis and the chiyuv of Simchas Yontif, because as we're going to learn tomorrow, on Yontif one should drink wine. However, Yidei Cheres La Yotza, like the Briskerov explains, in Dalet Kaisis there are two concepts. There's a concept that in Pesach by night we have to drink four cups of wine, and there's a concept that through the drinking of the four cups of wine we show Cheres. A free person drinks wine. So drinking it in undiluted, you drank four cups of wine. but that didn't show that you're really free when you drink wine that's undiluted, that you weren't mekayim. Shasim bas achas, if you drank it in one bas achas, rav amar yidei yayin yotza, you were mekayim the chiyuv of simchas yontif, arba kaisis lo yotza, but you weren't mekayim mitzvus arba kaisis, as we said. Hishk mehem lebona lebnei beisoy, if you gave your family to drink from the wine, yotza. Amar rav Nachman by Yitzchak, for who the ishtaru with the kaisa. The only time you could do it is if first you drink roiv of the kais, and as we said earlier, there's a machlekes rishonim, what does that mean? The Rambam says that no matter how big the cup is, you have to drink roiv kais. So if you have a very large cup, you're going to have to drink a lot. L'chatchila, drink the whole cup, if not, drink roiv. Other rishonim mean that you never have to drink more than a mole lugmav, and if you have a big cup, you have to drink roiv revius, it's enough. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says in a braisa, dal kaisas halalu, these four cups of wine, tzar sheheba, and then kidei revius. It has to have a revius. Echet chai, vechet mozog. It makes no difference if the wine is diluted or undiluted. Echet chadosh, vechet yosha. It makes no difference if the wine is new, and we know new wine isn't really fermented, or old wine. Here, old wine isn't something which is normally considered good. Here, old wine that lost its taste. Rebbe Yehuda Eimer, no. Sarach Sheheboi, Tam Umar Yayin. That's the taste and the look of wine. However, Ketanimius, what does it say here? Kedei Revius. That it has to have a Revius to be considered acceptable. Vat Amrit Kais Yafra. And you say that if it has, we said earlier, that if it has a quarter of a Revius, it's enough. So here it says you have to have a Revius. And before we said a quarter of a Revius is enough. Amri Idi V'idi Chachurihi. A Kais Yafa, which we said is a quarter of a Revius, is essentially the same as a Revius. Why? My Kedei Mezigas Kais Yafa the Kamar, L'kol Chad V'chad, Davle Kula Revius. Each cup we said has a quarter of a Revius. So there are two ways of explaining the Gemara's Teretz. One way is saying, four times a quarter is one Revius. Or another pshat is that every cup has a quarter of a revius before dilution. And after dilution, it has the three parts water. Now every cup has a revius. Rav Yehuda, we said, Tzarech Sheheba Tam Umara. It has to have the look and taste of wine. Amar Rava, my Tamad Rav Yehuda, Tiksiv Al Tira Yayin Ki Yis Adem. Don't worry about wine when it's red. So you see, wine's supposed to be red. So there's two ways of understanding why you need red wine. Some of Farshim say, and it's nafkamina la'alocha. Some Mefarshim say because red wine is better. And some say because red wine commemorates that Paro washed himself in the blood of Jewish children, the Dam Pesach and the Dam Mila, Maka Istam. What's the nafkamina? If white wine is better than red wine. If it's because Pshat is that red wine is better, so if you have white wine and you know it's better, you're allowed to use white wine. But if it is because to commemorate all those things we mentioned, then you're supposed to specifically use red wine. And the minig is to try to use red wine. However, interestingly enough, you don't have to use only red wine. You could take white wine and put a little red wine into it and get the reddish color. But the Mefarshim discuss, the Paiskim discuss, are you allowed to color white wine into red? So some say that ain't Sviya Ba'eichlin, and there is no problem of coloring food, and it doesn't make a difference if you put the red into the white and the white into the red. However, the Chaya Adam seems to hold, and Ben Ish Chai says the same thing, that there is a problem in coloring, and therefore he says, don't put the red wine into the white, put the white wine into the red. The white wine into the red.